everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of June 3rd. June 3rd. Holy crap, we're in June already.
Yeah, it's completely into summer.
I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and extremely sleepy Melissa Hansen.
I am. Michael's like, okay, ready to record? 3, 2, and I totally started yawning. And I'm like trying to stifle it.
So what has your weekend entertainment been like?
Well, finished up Arrested Development.
Ah, yes.
And then Chainsmoke Dexter, season 7, too.
That's quite a juxtaposition of content there.
Well, messed up families.
Well, this is true.
You know.
This is true. So what did you think of Arrested Development as a whole?
I liked it. I liked that they went with a different concept because they knew it was just going to be this season.
Yeah.
You know, this limited number of episodes, and that's it. You know, it's not wondering if it's going to get renewed or not. So they, you know, went a different setup with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really liked it. Maybe it's not quite what it was at the beginning, but I was happy to have it. You know, I like the overall story that they told.
Yeah.
You know, which is great seeing the characters and the actors. And
did you feel you needed a scorecard to kind of keep track of where everybody was at any
time? I didn't worry about it.
Okay.
I decided not to. I'm like, whatever. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to watch the episodes. And when things, because we talked about it last week,
yeah,
you get bits of the story and then it gets filled in the other episodes from the other people's point of view. And I'm just like, wait. And, you know, lots of, oh, okay. Oh, that's what was going on kind of moments. But I didn't, like, worry.
Any
about
surprises?
Whether I understood or I got it or whatever. I was so happy to see so many people back.
There you go. Okay.
And I actually like giggled with glee when Mae Whitman came on screen.
Oh, yes.
So these aren't huge, but Anne Veal is back.
Yeah.
For a smaller but pivotal role.
Yep.
And this one, and that made me super excited. Of course, we know Liza Minnelli's back.
Oh, she was fantastic. She and Jessica Walters just owned this season.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, and like, but everybody, like Henry Winkler's back, Chachi was back.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, Judy Greer we got to see again.
We got one moment with Anyang.
Yeah, so definitely not, though. Too many to be all. But a lot of the secondary characters were on it. James Lipton was even back.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really fun. And I love they went back and we saw young Bluth.
Mr. Oh, my God. Kristen Wiig was awesome.
Kristen Wiig kind of rocked it. Yeah. She played young Lucille.
Yeah.
And it was very cool. No, I appreciate what they did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I have no complaints.
I had one disappointment. There wasn't enough Tony Hale.
Buster, I would agree with that.
Buster did not really come into the show until the very end.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why.
In that order.
If he had something else going on or...
Well, he was a bit in other people's episodes, but it was smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way the stories went. And it's Mike. Job was in it a lot. You're right. Job was in it a lot.
Yeah. What did you think of his stuff with Ben Stiller?
That was excellent. That was great. I really liked it. And I liked they did, you know, some kind of pandering to the fans.
Yeah.
And, no, I really liked it. And I appreciated what they did and what it was. And I'm happy.
You know, the boys were talking about on Filibuster about how ambitious this was for Mitch Hurwitz and his creative team. And heck yes. I mean, the writing on this show to get all of those pieces to... Can you imagine breaking the story and trying to figure out how you're going to shoot it from different perspectives? And
yeah, and make sure we got all the information we needed by the end of it.
Yeah, and the whole ostrich thing and just all of these little pieces that came together. It was phenomenal. I mean, this is something that most network shows would never, ever be able to pull off.
No.
So, yeah, kudos to those guys. I think it's going to be huge. I think it already has been huge for Netflix. But it changes the game in terms of television.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how many people signed up for Netflix last month.
Yeah. And it'll also be interesting to see if other television folks will pick up the torch and say, you know what, we're going to try something different as well.
So. Yeah, we'll see if this really is a game changer.
Yeah.
For the way we watch TV, or if it was just, you know, an experiment and that's it.
All right, so what did you think of Dexter?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah?
And I didn't freaking want to kill Jennifer Carpenter, which is, listen to me talk about Dexter before. I thoroughly enjoy the show. I think Michael C. Hall is amazing. I really dislike Jennifer Carpenter as an actress.
Yeah.
I think she's a really, really rappy actor.
Yeah.
I like the character of Deb. I do not like Jennifer Carpenter.
Yeah.
I could deal with her this season. And it's really about her. I mean, she's very big this season.
Yeah.
And has a lot to do and a lot of more emotional range than just swearing.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it's great. And we at the end of, I'll spoil the end of season six if you didn't see it. At the very end,
mm-hmm.
last kind of shot, Deb sees Dexter kill somebody.
Ah.
And it's total game changer.
Yeah.
Because now somebody knows what he is.
Well, and that's somebody being his sister.
Right. And so this season was all of, I mean, you had like, you know, the killers they were all chasing.
Yeah.
But it really was about like their relationship and her dealing with this and, you know, how, what's Deb going to do? She's a cop and she's just seen a murder. And what is she going to do? And then if she finds out more, and first it's like he covers it, like it's just this one. And then she starts questioning because she's not a freaking idiot.
Yeah.
And finally the whole story comes out and it's Deb dealing with this.
Now, how does this juxtapose against the whole setup for the series is that his father, who was a cop,
mm-hmm.
helped him deal with these impulses by creating this code that he lived by.
Right.
Now, how does this, his, now that is, how does his sister knowing this, does that unravel that?
It's not even his sister knowing it. It's him delving into like why he is the way he is and
okay.
what has made him this way. And he's always been like, it's this thing that makes me be this way.
It's and an it's external him, thing.
Yeah, like, it's in him. He has this dark passenger who, like, makes him do this.
Right.
And because of his past, like, he can't help it.
Yeah.
And he's finally like, hey, you know what? I'm just a killer. I like to kill.
Okay.
And it's me, and it's I choose to do it. And, yeah, so it's really, you know, kind of dealing with this. But to me, the big plot line,
yeah.
like, really wasn't much of one. There's always some big and then, like, a secondary.
Yeah.
Like killers they're after, or Dexter's hunting down to kill, and that was really secondary.
Hmm.
See, and it's always been about the guest stars every
right.
season. Like that's how you know which season it is. It's based on
John Lithgow or Edward James Olmos. Or,
right.
Yeah.
Like who's in it? And this one, you're like, okay, yeah, whatever.
Hmm.
What the hell is Deb gonna do?
Okay.
That's what you were wondering about. Not like, is he going to get this killer or is he going to get caught? That's been our whole thing. Like edge of our seats. Oh my God, is Dexter going to get caught?
Yeah.
Well, guess what he did last season, basically. So
yeah.
like that's kind of off the table in a way, even though you still worry about it a little bit, but it's not some big secret just you and he have now.
Okay.
So
now we know season 8 is the final season.
This is the final season. And it starts the end of this month.
Does season 7 tee that up?
Yeah, there's going to be massive fallout. And again,
okay.
it's going to be mainly about Deb.
All right.
We find out by the end of the season how far Deb will go.
Okay. Fair enough.
And it's a bit of a holy shit ender like it was the end of last season.
Okay.
So now we know what's going to happen when she finds out about Deb. Now what's going to happen when she finds out about herself.
All right. Well, I tortured myself in another way because I went to go see M. Night Shyamalan's After Earth.
Dear God, why?
With my nephew. Because my brother
Philip. The best uncle that has ever lived.
He enjoyed it. I sat there.
And he's how old?
He's 8.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really Jaden Smith's movie. All right, the story is him.
Okay.
Will Smith is a secondary character. And it's really, to be perfectly honest with you, it's the two of them for the whole movie.
Okay.
Zoe Kravitz plays Jaden's sister, but it's all done in flashbacks because she
okay.
died before. I mean, that's the setup to the whole
okay.
story, is that she died and her brother was unable to save her, even though he was very little at the time. He carries this guilt with him.
Okay.
It's not the Shyamalan that we know of Signs and, you know.
So you're answering my question. This is a Will Smith or Jaden Smith movie,
yes.
not an M. Night movie.
Right.
And
okay. Will wrote the story. I mean, they had another guy who came in and developed the script, but it's
but
Will's
it's their
story.
Idea. Him, he's like, my son needs a starring role.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's boring as all get out. I mean, it looks beautiful. Some of the CGI is a little wonky. There's some elements of the story that work well, but it's basically, there's no tension. You know that the character has to get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
You know that if the character, either one of the characters dies, the movie's over, so that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know that in order for them to be rescued, he has to get this thing at the end, which of course he will do. You know there's a beast that's chasing him, that they set up at the beginning, and you know there's going to be a confrontation, which happens at the end. It's just all so predictable, and there's no... you know, they're billing it as a sci-fi movie. It's not a sci-fi. There's nothing really science fiction-y about it. So there's two messages to this movie, right? The first one is... the Earth will go on living long after it has expunged the scourge of humanity, all right? So humans are forced off the planet. They go and colonize some other world. And by accident, Will Smith and his son wind up shipwrecked on Earth long after humanity has destroyed the planet. And, of course, it's all back to this lush Garden of Eden, but all these creatures have now evolved such that any human that comes back on the Earth will be immediately killed.
Uh-huh.
The other message is that if you can rid yourself of fear completely, you will slay the dragon and save the day. So fear is a construct of the human mind. It's completely imaginable, and there's no purpose to it. So in order to reach your full potential, you need to live life without fear. Because that's what these people are. They're called rangers, and the only reason they exist is to kill beasts, and how they do that is rid themselves of all fear, and then they cannot be seen by these animals.
Oh, got it.
So.
All right, then.
Become a ghost. I don't know. It was just, you know.
Again, thank you for taking the bullet for all of us.
There was nobody. We were the only people in the theater. Nobody else was there. Well, and let me segue into this, because it didn't do too well at the box office this weekend, did it?
No. It didn't, because you think the big opener... Yeah, no, not number one. Number one is Fast and Furious 6 with $34.5 million for the weekend. And then Now You See Me with $28 million.
The magic.
And then After Earth, third with $27 million.
Yeah, I don't know how much they invested in this. I don't know why they continue to give Shyamalan money to make movies, because they aren't very interesting. Now, I mean, it looks great.
Why is Will Smith still able to do whatever he wants?
Well.
Has his star not fallen far enough yet?
I guess. I mean, he is Will Smith. He does a terrible accent. He's trying to do this affected military accent. It sounds so ridiculously phony. I don't know. And then every once in a while, the regular Will Smith voice will creep in.
Nice.
So, it's just a mess.
All right. Well... then in a fourth, we'll finish it up here, Star Trek, 16.5, an epic with about 16.5.
Yeah. And notice who's not in that list of the top five is Hangover Part 3.
Yeah, it has fallen, I mean, just a 6, but yeah, it does not have much lasting power. It's only $88 million, which of course sounds like a lot, but not overall.
Well, but here's a telling thing. Overseas... it opened this past weekend. It made $82 million in one weekend overseas.
Right.
Next week, there's not a lot to look forward to. Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson reteam for The Internship.
Okay.
Where the two of them get jobs with college kids at Google.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Wedding Crashers, this will not be.
No.
There's a disturbing indie film from Universal called The Purge.
Yes.
Which is one of these, I don't even know how you'd classify it these days. It's not torture porn, but it's a family that's held hostage during this 12-hour period in which all crime is legalized. It's like Eli Roth on steroids or something. And then...
it stars Ethan Hawke.
Does it really?
Yeah, how did he get in that one?
I don't know. Unless it's one of his theater friends or somebody's, you know, that's wrote the script or something. I don't know. But the counter-programming this week is Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
Yay. Which was shot at his Santa Monica home over 12 days.
Yeah, and all the regular crew is back.
Yep.
I mean, Buffy's not or anything, but...
No, so. But you get to see Wesley and, you know, Alexis Denisoff and Amy Acker play off each other again, which they haven't done since Angel. All right, coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week. We talked about it last week. My review of Warm Bodies will be up on the site tomorrow on Tuesday.
Okay.
Great little zombie... love story. Bruce Willis in A Good Day to Die Hard, which I have yet to see, but everyone tells me about how bad it is.
Breaking. I don't care. It's Bruce Willis.
I know. You're like my sister.
In a Die Hard movie. Who the fuck? I said, I mean, just Bruce Willis. It's Bruce Willis in a Die Hard movie. Who the hell cares anything about it? You want to see it. Come on.
All right. Breaking Bad Season 5. Mel Gibson's Mad Max trilogy comes to Blu-ray. And then this is one of my favorite movies that very few people have seen or even know about. But Alec Baldwin played The Shadow.
Yes, I remember that.
Opposite Jonathan Winters.
I didn't watch it, but I remember when it was out.
No, you did watch it because we went to the drive-in to see it.
I watched it?
Yes, we saw it at the drive-in.
I don't even remember it.
It was that, and I think it was the Phantom.
Well, there's my review of
Billy Zane.
There. I don't even remember seeing it.
Yeah. Yep. Good movie. I've seen it multiple times. I'm very much looking forward to owning it on Blu-ray. Coming to Redbox this week, Mark Wahlberg and Russell Crowe in Broken City, Keanu Reeves in Generation which I think was supposed to go to the theaters and wound up going direct to DVD.
Oops.
Or had a very brief art house run and then went to DVD. And then here's another direct to DVD, John Cusack in The Numbers Station. He's doing a lot of these action adventure movies.
I was talking about Stars Falling.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Or he's got bad agents or something. He's just making bad choices. I don't know. Over at Netflix this week, Disney's Hercules joins the rest of the kind of B-list Disney movies that Netflix has purchased from Disney. Broken Lizard's comedy Super Troopers and the AMC series Longmire, which Clark's review is up on the site today. And it's not very flattering, to be perfectly honest with
you. Uh-oh.
It was kind of a highly touted Western, modern Western. Mm-hmm. Kind of a crime police procedural, because Katie Sackhoff's in it and Lou Diamond Phillips. But Clark does not have a lot of nice things to say.
All right.
And then over at Hulu, to round out the streaming content this week, the 1988 Liberace biopic, Liberace Behind the Music, starring Victor Garber.
Nice!
So you got that to look forward to if you've seen the Michael Douglas version that was...
Well, I was just going to say, please tell me you're covering Michael Douglas's announcement in the news. If you are...
Oh, yes. Oh, most definitely we are going to talk about that. Kurt Russell stars in the 1980 classic Used Cars. And then Mario Van Peebles does Blaxploitation with Badass, which
nice.
Is homage to his father, Melvin Van Peebles' 1971 film Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. So we gotta love the 70s.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's all I got for streaming this week.
All right. Okay, TV, again. Like, I'm gonna talk for 10 minutes here.
Yep.
Monday, ABC's new show called Mistresses.
Oh, boy.
Starring Alyssa frickin' Milano.
No.
And it's about, you know, mistresses. All right. Anyhow, also Monday, NBC, the finale of Revolution. And then on ABC Family, it's the finale, season finale of Secret Life of an American Teenager, but then the premiere of The Fosters, which is the Terry Polo show produced by Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I saw they ran a trailer for that before the movie.
Oh, wow.
And Ryan turns to me and he says, is that the name of the family or are they fostering people? And I said, it's kind of both.
Oh, boy. He's not quick enough to pick up on that?
No. Yeah.
All right. And then Teen Wolf, season premiere on MTV. Tuesday, America's Got Talent premiere on NBC. They now have four judges. Okay, ready? So America's Got Talent, only one of the judges is American. Can I just point that out? This bothers me more than it should.
Oh, boy.
Anyhow, all right. And then on Sci-Fi, the premiere of the series Exit on Tuesday. And Wednesday, we have the CMT Music Awards on, you know, CMT. And then right after that is premiere of Redneck Island.
What?
It's like Survivor, but with rednecks.
Oh,
like
my God.
All right. Well, if your tastes lean kind of opposite direction, Wednesday night is the season premiere of Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman on Science.
Yeah.
Thursday, The Hero premiere on TNT. This is a reality show with The Rock.
Oh.
Like, I don't even know what they're doing.
Okay.
They're being all big and strong and tough and
yeah.
Whatever. And then some are going to get sent home. I don't know. But that's on TNT. And then Burn Notice season premiere on USA, yep. along with the premiere of Graceland, which is Daniel Sanjaya.
Oh, yeah, from Rescue Me.
His new, I can't remember if it's cop show or FBI show. See how much I care. Anyhow, it's set in Malibu, so woo!
Oh,
exciting. Saturday, Primeval New World premiere on Sci-Fi. Sunday, the Tonys on CBS.
Oh, yeah.
And then a little alternate programming on History. We have the premieres of Mountain Men and Ice Road Truckers.
Oh, jeez.
And then on HBO is the finale of Game of Thrones. And from what I'm hearing this past week's, holy crap.
Really?
Kind of. That's all anyone who watches that can talk about. Everyone's slightly upset.
I'm waiting for these things to come to streaming because then I can catch up quickly because I would really rather not go out and buy the Blu-rays to watch them.
All right. Music. Grinning Streak. Bare Naked Ladies.
No!
Yep.
But still yep. without Stephen Page.
No, without, I think they're going to be without Stephen Page forever, to be honest with you. He has
that.
Just moved on in life.
Sucks.
But it kind of does, but oh well.
Yeah.
Most of Bare Naked Ladies better than none Bare Naked Ladies.
I suppose.
So we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Queens of the Stone Age, new album called Like Clockwork.
Yep.
Megadeth. New one called Super Collider. And then just for you, it's called Under the Covers.
What?
By Gretchen Wilson.
Oh.
It's actually a bunch of covers. Like her, she did her favorite songs.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Ben Folds 5 has a new album out. It's called Live.
Nice.
And it's a live album. And then More from Pitch Perfect, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
They've put out, what is it, like a year later, they've put out another album with some that didn't make the first.
A cappella songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew Morrison has one called Where It All Began.
Hmm.
It's a bunch of old standards Broadway stuff. Duh, of course it is. Motown the Musical, Broadway cast recording. Can't tell the Tonys are coming up, can you? Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, original broadcast, Broadway cast recording. And Giant, original cast recording.
Okay.
So this week, we're going to start off our book section. We still have, I think, maybe two more weeks without saying it.
Really?
Yeah, this is like forever in James Patterson's life here. But Stephen King has a new one.
Oh.
Called Joyland. And it's kind of a pulp kind of novel.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Jeffrey Deaver. His Lincoln Rhyme series, it's the 10th in that, called The Kill Room. Jeffrey Deaver, who grew up in my hometown.
I didn't know that.
He now writes the Bond books, too.
Okay.
But this is one of his series he's had for a while. Fans of Monk, the TV show,
yeah.
If you're seeing that, there's actually a new novel.
Oh.
By Conrad, called Mr. Monk Helps Himself.
Hmm.
And then we have Doc, a memoir by Dwight Gooden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
From New York Mets fans.
This one, I'm putting it under book, but it's also under DVD and CD and all over the place. So, Ghost Brothers of Darkland County.
Hmm.
It's actually a musical. It was written by Stephen King and John Mellencamp and T-Bone Burnett.
What?
Yeah, it came, they actually, it opened like a year ago. But I'm putting this under books. It's really a hardcover book.
Okay.
But it's got all, it's got like script stuff from it.
Hmm.
And notes and production development and all kinds of stuff. But it also comes with two CDs of the music and a DVD with, like, interviews and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, so fans of any of them are going to want to pick that up.
No doubt.
Yeah. Theater.
Yep.
Next week, Neil LaBute's new play.
Ooh.
It's got a limited engagement, and it opens officially on June 11th. It's called Reasons to be Happy. It's a follow-up to Reasons to be Pretty.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's at Seal Lortel Theater, and it is now running through June 29th. It's a really short run, so you need travel plans to New York if you haven't. But it stars Leslie Bibb, Jenna Fischer, Josh Hamilton, and Fred Weller.
No kidding.
Yes.
Wow. That's quite a cast.
Yeah. Any fans of theirs, could want to catch them on stage. And like I said, it's just till the 29th.
Okay.
Yep. And then I will have big Tony news.
Yes.
Next week. I hopefully will be seeing.
All right.
Awful lot.
Well, we've got some sad news to start out the entertainment section this week. We've got the death of Jean Stapleton, who was best known for playing Edith Bunker on All in the Family. I mean, she had a fantastic career, both in theater and film and television. But, I mean, her portrayal of Edith Bunker, I mean, I'm thinking of certain things like the rape episode and things that really changed television in the 70s that made people stand up and take notice. I mean, for a sitcom, I mean, of course it's Norman Lear, who was a legend in sitcom, but there were some, I think she dealt with breast cancer at one point as well. So there were some really pivotal moments in television history that Jean was involved
was
with.
Huge stuff that
Huge. Yeah. We also, and you sent this over to me, the part of the Storm Chasers crew was killed in the big Oklahoma tornado.
Yeah, the TV show.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were chasing the storm and it turned on them.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then the strangest story. So last week, I think it was TMZ or Hollywood Reporter broke that Tim Curry had suffered a stroke. And then it turns out that Tim actually suffered this massive stroke last July.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been recuperating, and yet somehow the story just made its way.
Yeah, I don't know how they kept it this long. But
now they say he's making progress, but it also doesn't, when you read between the lines, it doesn't sound too encouraging.
No, if it's been that long. And
yeah, it's just, it's really sad because Tim is such a big presence. We had the pleasure of seeing him do Spamalot on stage before it even went to Broadway. And for someone as iconic as he is to kind of be taken down like that is really unfortunate. Other unfortunate news, although it depends on what side of the line you're on with this one, Matt Smith has decided to exit Doctor Who with the Christmas episode this year. So he's got two episodes left. They're doing the 50th anniversary with he and David Tennant. That will be November 23rd. That's already shot. And then they have yet to shoot the Christmas episode, which, of course, now is going to be completely refocused because the Doctor will be regenerating.
Yes.
So,
which could be refocused the last, like, 3 seconds of it. So.
Yeah. But knowing Stephen, he's probably going to tee up whatever he had in mind for season 8 or completely rework whatever he had in mind. Because they had announced, I think it's several weeks ago, that Series 8 had been greenlit by the BBC. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of torn. Matt has done a fantastic job, but this show has proven time and time again over 50 years that it doesn't matter who's in the driver's seat. It's going to wind up being interesting television. Speaking of interesting television, Dan Harmon is back as showrunner for NBC's Community.
Yay!
So this fall will be a very different Community. Now, let's just hope that the network doesn't go and pull the plug on him before he gets a chance to do what he does so well. Sam Mendes, you know how we said that he had scheduling conflicts, he wasn't going to do the next Bond movie, and they were talking to Christopher Nolan? Well, now Sam is reportedly on board to direct the next two Bond films as one big story.
Oh.
So I kind of hate that, but, you know, Peter Jackson has done that with Lord of the Rings and now The Hobbit, but to do it
with
Bond.
Well, the first two, Daniel Craig kind of connected and were kind of...
Yeah, they do. I just...
Doing one.
It makes me nervous when they do stuff like that, because the Bond stories have always been very self-contained. Muppets director James Bobbin is in talks to direct Johnny Depp in the sequel to Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. I don't know how I feel about that.
Is it a sequel to Tim Burton's Alice
in Wonderland? I don't think so, but it made a lot of money. And a lot of people love those characters. So
I don't know how many people, because there are a lot of people who hated it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
All right.
And then the other Johnny Depp news I have is Disney hands over the creative reins for Pirates of the Caribbean 5 to Norwegian director Johan Ronning, who was Oscar nominated for the biopic Kon-Tiki. But what worries me more than that is that Jeff Nathanson is the man who wrote Speed 2, Rush Hour 2 and 3, and Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is writing this script.
Ah, that's really, great.
Yeah, and the film already has a release date of July 15th, 2015.
All right, then. Release date before you, like, hire anybody.
Yeah. All right, and I'm going to finish up with a very interesting Michael Douglas story.
Oh, good Lord.
Who, you know, has been doing press for his HBO biopic on Liberace. And I don't know who asked the question or how it came out, but he was saying that, you know, he's recovered from throat cancer, but the reason he got throat cancer in the first place, because I'm going to be crude here, and I don't know if I should.
Use clinical terms.
Oh, okay. Because...
say whatever you want. Who cares?
He is a fan of cunnilingus. I can't even say it without laughing. He's been eating too much pussy is what he's been doing.
That it's from like an... He got it from HPV virus.
Oh my God.
Which is a sexually transmitted virus. But he got it in his throat. So you can either go with Michael's crude language or you can do the math yourself.
Well, in Kevin Smith's terms, you know, it's just... I was reading this, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He didn't actually just say that, did he?
Okay, how much... Is he getting, you know, in trouble at home tonight?
Oh, my God. Well, and she's bipolar to begin with, so you don't really want to set this woman off.
All right, then.
Is this Michael just trying to make news for himself?
I don't think he does that, though.
I didn't think so either, but this seems completely out of
character. Schmuck.
Okay. Well, and you know what? And I have to say, this may be a very intelligent publicity move, because they have a movie coming out late this summer called The Last Bachelor Party, where it's him and Morgan Freeman and Alan Arkin, I think, where they all these older guys are going to Vegas to celebrate, because Michael Douglas is getting married, to celebrate this last fling bachelor party. And they, of course, they pick up all these hot young girls and all sorts of stuff. So I'm wondering if this is really calculated.
Also, he just played an iconic gay character, so maybe he's trying to pull straight.
That could be, too. That could be, too. I don't know. It's just, it seems very tasteless for him, but anyways.
For him? How about you reporting on it, sir?
Well, all right, fair enough. Okay, I'm done. I know there's more tasteless stuff coming because Amanda Bynes has been off her nut again this week.
Yeah, full out this week. So model Chrissy Teigen had tweeted that, quote, "The fact that Amanda Bynes has any support to retweet is really unsettling. Support people with mental illness, yes, but don't condone, enable scary and poor behavior." Well, of course Amanda saw that. "You're not a pretty model compared to me. I signed to Ford Models at age 13. I don't look up to you beauty-wise. I'm far prettier than you. I think you're jealous that you're just an ugly model whose career is uninspiring. I don't respect you. You're no beauty queen. I'm a beauty queen."
Oh, my God.
Okay, then. All right, then. She's also suing TMZ, along with, like, the police department and, like, 20 other people. Because they're liars and, like, creating fake evidence and stuff. And obviously, part of the fake evidence they're creating is a picture of her in a brown wig. From a week ago, because she supposedly was in Buffalo, New York, at like a trampoline place. And jumping on the trampoline, and people say she signed in under her middle name and last name. And people who were there say it most definitely was her. And was like knocking people over and not following rules and whatever. And she's like, "It wasn't her because I don't own a brown wig."
Oh my God. Why do I picture
Michael? Of course, there's a picture of her the week before in a brown wig.
Why do I picture Michael and Joe Bluth in the ball pit at the little ball? Yes.
Anyhow.
And she also went on Twitter to call People Magazine faggots. Did you see that part?
Oh, God, I can't keep up with her.
No, this just happened yesterday. So they had said something about her, and she said, you know, she retweeted back that, "You faggots." And I'm like, oh, geez. You know, here we now you're going to get GLAAD involved, and you're going to have to...
We all need to walk away and hope and pray.
Yeah, because I think by paying attention to her, it's only making the situation worse.
I think it is. And it's, and again, this is supposedly, because I'm not, you know, friends with her parents, but supposedly they're trying to get, like, conservatorship and things like that. And they think she may actually be schizophrenic.
Ooh.
It's not just crazy behavior, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's a pretty big jump. I mean, it's one thing to have mental illness, it's another thing to have schizophrenia.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's one thing to be having, like, a breakdown.
Right.
And it's another thing for
like
that.
Like a depressive episode. Yeah.
We're honestly going to have to wait until she hits rock bottom because obviously she hasn't yet.
Wow. Yikes.
Anyhow. Yeah. All right. Into more lighter news.
Yes.
We'll go with Kardashians. I don't know if you guys remember this story. A few weeks ago, Rob, who has gotten very fat and is working out, was like either going to work out or leaving work out, and he was in like a private garage.
Okay.
And a paparazzi photographer had like snuck in and like waited for him to get to his car and like take his shirt off, and she started taking pictures of him, and he like grabbed the camera and crap. And he got charged with battery and theft.
Ooh.
For doing that. Again, it's wrong what he did, but I'd be pissed off too.
Yeah.
Like, it's wrong what she did.
Right.
Anyhow, they've settled.
Of course they have.
So, they have to wait. The victim
was
in court, so the judge has to, like, okay it with her at the next hearing.
Yeah.
But he's reached a settlement, which is smart.
Yeah.
Just settle with her, which stinks. But somebody's an asshole, and they're going to get money for it.
But, you know, that's that entire business in L.A., and the only reason the paparazzi exist is because they get paid so much money to go out and do stuff like this. And the incentive is there for them to get those photos because the rewards are great.
Right.
And it's a sick business because you're preying off the vulnerabilities of people who shouldn't have to worry about going into their backyard or going out their front door not looking perfect because they're going to get their picture taken.
Yeah, and when that's part of your, quote, job...
Yeah.
Is looking good.
Right.
Yeah, it affects your livelihood.
Absolutely.
Along with just like, it's none of your damn business
right.
What I look like with my shirt off or what I'm doing or what I'm eating or whatever it happens to be.
But we Anyhow. Are in All such, right. yeah, anyway.
Well, the other huge Kardashian news
yes.
we've all been waiting and waiting and waiting for. And of course, it was a television moment.
Oh.
It's going to be a girl. Kim and Kanye are having a girl. So let's come up with some more K-girl names for them.
Brother.
Just in case they don't have any planned.
All right. Well, and on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week's show. Thank you guys for tuning in and putting up with my crude language. As always, we thank you for heading over to DVD Verdict to read our reviews. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Let the bed sheet soak up my tears and watch the only way out disappear. Don't tell me why. Kiss me goodbye.